Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hello, everybody.
Long time no talk.
Yes. Welcome back to the show. Or maybe we should welcome ourselves back to the show because we didn't post last week.
Yeah. Sorry about that. I don't even think we addressed it. I think maybe a little bit I addressed it because I said we've been hard at work, working on our new merch.
Yes. Yeah. We have been working on our new merch designs for the past month. And of course, like the ADHDers that we are, we procrastinated a little bit and got down to the wire and had to put in a shitload of work.
Yes, we did. And you know what? I'm not mad at it because they all turned out beautifully. They have been up for a few days. If you hear ASMR clipping sounds in the back, it's because I'm embroidering. But anyways, our designs have been out for a few days, but we didn't tell anybody because we wanted to obviously announce it on an episode like we always do whenever there's anything new in the shop. So
yes. Okay. So some of the details, the nitty gritty of the merch designs and why we're so excited about it and why it personally is really special to us is because we got to collaborate together. This is the first time that we have collaborated on digital art pieces and then put them on merch. And there are pieces that were totally designed by Brooke, and there are pieces that were totally designed by me. And then there were pieces that we both collaborated on, and Brooke did some of the hand drawing, and then I added the design elements. And if you follow the link on our Instagram page to our merch site and you click on an item, if you read the description, you can see if it was a collaboration, if it's a Brooke piece, if it's a Liz piece. And they're really special to us. Brooke and I have already ordered merch.
Of course.
Because we're so excited. We did keep some of our favorites, our OG favorites, like Hex the Patriarchy, but it's a different design. And we still have a Witchful Thinking design. It's just extra spicy. It's one of my favorites. And then we also have some like totally new fun things. So go check it out. Get some of the new merch, and definitely when you guys order it and receive it, take pictures of you wearing it or using it, whatever it is, and send it to us. We would love to feature you on our story or on our Instagram page in a post. And we also have new items as well, like tapestries and blankets, lots of really cool shit that we're super excited about.
Yes, I am so excited for the freaking tapestry, the Magic Juice tapestry.
Yeah,
that's
one of the design names. It's called Magic Juice.
Yes, it is a Liz original. So you'll be walking around with Liz's original artwork on your body. It's just so cool because obviously, like the last set of merch, our first merch drop ever, was so exciting, and I loved all the designs dearly, but the difference between those and the new ones are, like, we hand drew this shit. Like, we drew, like, these are our pieces. This is not, like, you know, a ton of elements that we picked through on, like, Canva Pro. Like, for, you know, for what it, for what Canva Pro is, it honestly does offer some really great shit to make. You can make anything originally yours. But, like, this is just really exciting because we both drew these things, and there's literally something, I'm not even kidding, there's something for everybody now, because we now have a design that can appeal to either the, like, your masculine side or your feminine side. We have merch for the different signs, like the, you know, water signs, fire, earth, air. And there's, I mean, obviously, you know us, it's only March, more is coming. We also, I think eventually we're probably going to drop a new Get Your Serotonin Where You Can design, because that was, yeah, has sure. always been a fan favorite, but it's not up right now, but don't worry, something will come back representing our favorite phrase we coined. But yeah, we're super excited, so be sure to check the link in the description of this episode or on the link tree on our podcast Instagram account. And yeah, we're really excited. We worked really hard on this, and
they're all hand-drawn from Procreate, because I think we mentioned in the past episode, or maybe the past two, that I bullied Brooke into getting an Apple Pencil, and that's when the creativity exploded. and we not we drew a lot, a big portion of these designs while having a Netflix party together watching True Crime.
Yes, we were watching I Am a Killer, which, if you haven't watched that show, like, honestly, I got really hooked there for a minute. Like, I was watching that every day, and then I think I might have finished it. And no, I started watching Love is Blind. And you know, honestly, sometimes I wish that I was, like, we had, like, a spinoff podcast where we just talked about trash TV, because as much as, like, people, like, fault you for watching trash TV, it's so fun to talk about.
It is. I have not watched a trash TV show in a long time, and I definitely needed that. And Brooke bullied me into watching, what is it, Love is Blind with her.
You fell asleep.
And I did, our last Netflix party. Listen, I am known for falling, like, if it's the evening time and we're watching a movie or a TV show, there is a good chance that I am going to fall asleep.
Oh, even if it's a daytime, she'll go right the fuck to sleep.
I don't know what it is. Like, movies and TV shows make me fall asleep. I love watching them, but I probably will end up taking a nap at some point. And it was, to my defense, it was very late. And we got an episode and a half in on our Netflix party, and I passed the fuck out.
She did. But she was awake and lucid for a full hour and a half, so I will give her that. Also, you know what? It was like 1 a.m. here, so it was like 11 or something there. So you had no excuse. You can't hang.
I cannot do all-nighters anymore. Like, I barely make it to 1 a.m. If I'm up at 1 a.m., that is a rarity.
I have been much better about going to sleep on time, trying to keep my circadian rhythms in check, meaning, like, you know, I get constipated if I don't sleep. I mean, you don't sleep and your life gets screwed up. You get digestion issues and all types of shit. So
if I don't get enough sleep, I will wake up feeling hungover.
Yeah.
I will wake up feeling drunk or hungover, and it's just lack of sleep.
It's lack of sleep. And
I used to pull all nighters in, like, high school. There were times that I would, or on the weekends when I would go hang out with my friends and I would, you know, we'd have sleepovers. We would not go to bed, like, ever. And we would just roll into the next day. What the hell?
We just had some type of stamina back then that we just don't have as adults.
No. And I mean, I love sleep so much. I love cuddling up in my bed under my blankets with my cat next to me. And it's just so cozy. And I love sleep. And I'm very lucky to be a great sleeper. Because I sleep under the damn rock. But yeah, that's our big announcement. And we're really excited. I have been super antsy to announce this because I'm just so proud of us and it's very special to us. So head over to the merch and check it out. And even if you don't buy something, like, totally comment on we'll make a separate post. We're gonna be mad blasting some posts because each design will get its own post.
Oh yeah, we're gonna be blowing the shit up for the rest of the week.
But you know, even if you don't get something, like, totally comment on the designs and let us know what you think of them.
Yes, because we love feedback. And you know, I mean, we're going into spring and summer, so not everyone is cold-blooded like me. I tend to be pretty cold, so I will wear a crew neck any day of the year. Or if there's like a design you really love and you're like, I love this, if it was on like a t-shirt or a bag or something, let us know that too, because it is not hard for us to slap our designs. They're digital. Like, it's not difficult for us to take care of that if that's what the people want.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's that. So, before we continue bantering, we're actually going to talk some witchy shit today. If you follow the Instagram, you might have seen that I posted a poll on, I don't remember what day, but it was long ago that I forgot about it. But Liz remembered, which is rare, but she did.
I remembered. And it wasn't on my Google Calendar.
And it wasn't on her Google Calendar. We should all applaud her. She's strengthening her beautiful brain.
I'm trying.
But I asked what you guys wish you knew about witchcraft before you actively began practicing. And we got a handful of responses and we just kind of wanted to talk briefly about some of them and, you know, reflect on some of your answers and tell you what we wish we knew beforehand, because we have our own things that we think it probably would have been helpful to know before we started buying up every crystal from here to Idaho.
Yeah. Preach.
So the first one that we've got comes from Quirky_username. It literally says Quirky_username. That is their username. It says, I wish I knew it was real a lot sooner. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's something where growing up, you know, especially if you grew up religious, like depending on the religion you grew up in, it's either real and it's evil and you're going to go to hell, or you're going to fuck with some demons and they're going to possess you. Yep. Or it's just not fucking real at all.
Yeah. It's just like Google Gobble from Harry Potter.
Yeah. And I mean, also shit, I had a really good thing to say. Fuck, I forgot. It was right there. It was right. I was literally, the words were coming out of my mouth. God damn it. It'll come to me.
Okay.
I was just continuing to comment on that post, but you know what, we'll move on. If I remember it, I'll bring it back up. The next one comes from Hair by Angelina XO, and they said that I don't have to do it all perfectly or have all the tools to be considered a witch,
which we talk about on this podcast all the time, that you don't need to have every tool known to witch kind to be a witch.
Yes. Oh my goodness. And speaking of ADHD, Brooke and I will like hyper fixate on hobbies. which is totally fine. You know, I used to like, I used to beat myself up about it. And, you know, cause I would buy all the supplies. I would have everything I would need. And then like 6 months down the road, I don't want to touch it anymore. But you know what, for those 6 months, like I had a great time and for whatever the hobby is, but I don't know, when it comes to witchcraft, like since it's a practice and it's something that is integrated into my daily life, I am not upset about all of the pretty crystals and the books that I've bought. They make me happy. But over time, I have learned that they're not necessary.
And over time, it does become much easier to go into an apothecary or like a witchy shop and not buy every pretty book, every pretty spell book or something that you see, because you're like, you know what? Like, that is gorgeous. But like, I probably already have all that knowledge anyways.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Also, this is just something that like popped into my head. Were you nervous to go into your first metaphysical shop?
No, I think the first one we went to together, the Circle, Sacred Circle in Stanton.
Okay. I guess maybe more like super, I would say that was like a very spiritual shop, like super witchy. Like, I don't know. I was very nervous because I still considered myself like a baby witch. I had just gotten into these things and I walked in that store and I was like, they're all going to know that I don't know what I'm doing here.
How would they know?
Yeah. And I was like, it's probably just really obvious that I don't know what I'm looking for. And I was very nervous. And honestly, there probably was embedded religious trauma in that, thinking like, oh my God, this is a really scary place to go. You know, it wasn't. It was a beautiful shop. One of my favorite shops in the Denver area. It's not in Denver and I don't go there as often as I would like to because it's far enough away that I don't want to drive there all the time. And it's called Ritual Craft. The shop is just beautiful. Ugh, the vibes are immaculate. But yeah, just in case anybody else relates to that, that randomly popped in my head.
Yes. I forgot to tell you actually. So my boyfriend and I are actually going this weekend to a witch market on Sunday.
Wait. You guys have a witch market?
Yeah, we have a witch market. Fuck? I know. You didn't tell me that. I didn't know.
Is it all the time like a farmer's market or is it just like a pop-up shop thing?
Kayla, if you're listening to this episode right now, girl, you just interrupted. Good job. No, I don't know. I don't know if it's like once a month or what. I definitely have heard of like witchy get-togethers in Richmond, but I haven't gone ever. So yeah, we're super excited. He's super excited. Like, it is just so cool to have a partner who is genuinely like interested in this type of shit and isn't just like, what is that foo-foo witch shit? Like, he thinks it's so cool. So I'm very excited to do that. And I'll have to report back and let you guys know what that was like. Maybe I'll take pictures or something.
Yes, I definitely want to see what it looks like, if it's super cute. And I'm sure you're going to come out of there with some really cute items as well.
Oh, for sure. Cause I get paid on Friday. So I know I'm going to probably spend a fat dime.
Yeah.
The next one comes from Madison Ray. That's a really cool way to spell Madison. If it's Madison, not every practice looks the same. Yes, that is the truth. Like, you could consider yourself a green witch and your friend could consider themselves a green witch as well. And you guys can do totally different things and you're both still green witches.
Yeah. And like we've talked about in previous episodes, you can choose to have a label. You can choose not to have a label. You can practice as much as you want, as little as you want. You don't have to practice at all. You can just, you know, have intentions throughout your day and work on your manifestations and not use a single like physical tool. And it's just thoughts that you have, and you're putting energy into the universe. And if you identify as a witch, then you are, and it doesn't matter what your practice looks like.
Exactly.
And you can even be a part of a religion and practice witchcraft as well.
We need to find a religious witch.
We do. It would be really cool to talk to different witches that associate with different religions.
Yeah, like people who are like very, well, I wouldn't want to say, I don't want to say like someone who's very devout, but I do think it would be even more interesting to talk to someone who like actively worships every week somewhere, or like that's like a huge part of their life and they also incorporate witchcraft. I would really be interested in that. You know anybody? Send your friends, let us know. Yeah.
Okay, the next one is from Owo. Probably saying that so wrong. Owo Skittle or Ow Wow Skittle. It's okay not to follow somebody else's practice. And that kind of goes along with the previous one.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't have to replicate what someone else is doing. Or if you really love how someone else practices, like you can take tips and pointers from their practice and implement it into yours. I mean, that's how probably all of us learned whatever we've chosen to do, is by picking up different things from different witches and, you know, pick the things that we liked about it. But yeah, you definitely don't have to. There's no gatekeeping. There's no right way to do it. It's a very personal thing. Just like if you have a religious faith, like that's a very personal relationship that you have with whatever higher being you believe in. And it's the same goes for this practice. Like it's your own personal thing. And nobody defines it except for you.
I will say there's no gatekeeping with general witchcraft, but like be careful whose toes you're about to step on when you start to look into things that are inherent to other cultures, because that's where stuff starts to get a little muddled. And I'm not a big fan of witch talk. I think a lot of like misinformation gets spread on there, but sometimes there is some like good, like, you know, more educated older witches, like older generations who talk about like spirits and deities that baby witches should not be trying to summon because they don't know what they're doing. So there are certain things that I wouldn't consider it gatekeeping. I would consider it something you should educate yourself about first for your own safety.
Yeah. And
before you start,
like you said, you want to educate yourself so that you are not culturally appropriating. And we've mentioned on this podcast before that we no longer use white sage. Mm-hmm. And there's different items that are different tools and herbs that are used in other cultures, and big large companies are going into their geographical location and mass producing it and destroying their environment and then going and selling these products, and these people are not reaping any of the profits of that. And we want to you know, do our part as much as we can and not support that. So yeah, I think you're right, it's just educating yourself.
Yeah. And also I definitely think that people should give themselves a little bit of grace, because as you grow as a witch, you're going to find out that sometimes some things that you've believed or you've been practicing are incorrect or wrong or problematic, and you're allowed to correct yourself and just not do it anymore. For instance, I know a year or two ago we had an episode up, and this was before I think we understood the problems with white sage. And when someone emailed us about it, it was, you know, 70 episodes later, and I'd totally forgotten about that episode. And the person who emailed us was really actually very rude. The email was pretty nasty, to be honest. And I don't remember what the person's name was, not that it matters or anything, but they could have said what they said much kinder. By that point, we definitely had already educated ourselves about the problematic past with burning white sage and, you know, buying it from unreliable sources like Amazon and shit like that. But we hadn't gone back and hidden the episode. So I went back and I archived the episode because I don't want to spread misinformation and I don't want new listeners to think that we are spreading misinformation. So yeah, like if there's something that you learn along your journey as a witch and you realize like, oh my God, like I've been doing this probably in a way that's a little bit insulting to whatever culture, or there's a better way that I could do this to honor whatever. Like if you find something out that you've been doing wrong or that you could do better, you don't have to feel super embarrassed and like tell yourself like, I'm not a real witch. Yeah. We make mistakes, and you know, there's a wide array of information out there about witchcraft. So don't beat yourself up too much.
Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody has those days.
I don't know what I'm talking about. Everybody gets that way.
As I'm sitting here literally embroidering the word pussy.
Yeah. It's just an average day for us. Oh my God, it's looking amazing.
Wait, the light, there we go.
Oh, it looks so pretty.
The light was messing up. I wanted you to see.
Okay, what's the next one? Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, it's okay if you can't practice daily and being mindful with your intentions is enough. This is from Baby It's Cold Outside. I definitely recognize that username. I know we said in the last episode, like there's usernames we recognize. I recognize theirs.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it is okay if you can't practice daily. And that is another thing that we definitely have talked about on this podcast is, it's fine if you can't sit down and do this like detailed spell every single day. You're still a witch.
Yeah. And actually my idea of my practice has changed a lot over the past couple years now. And when I first started, you know, I really was into reading the books and following these ingredient lists. And I don't know. I really enjoyed it because I was diving head first. I wanted to know everything I could. I was a sponge. I was absorbing every bit of information that I could get my hands on. And now it is more for me. It is being mindful and setting intentions and manifesting, and it's a lot of energy work and dream work for me, and my practice is very different than when I first started, and what I'm doing now suits me right now. I love it. I enjoy it. And it can change in the next couple of years too. Mm-hmm. And that's totally okay.
Exactly. What I do now, I definitely didn't do in 2017. Probably what I do now, I won't do in 2028. So it can change, and that doesn't make you any less of a witch.
Yeah. The next one is from Diana Lemonade. That's a cool username. And they mentioned non-European witchcraft alternatives. That's interesting. I'm not going to lie. I do not know much about alternatives and different things like that. So do you have anything to comment on this one? Unfortunately, I don't have a lot to...
No, I don't have too much to say about it. I don't know if they're talking about like, I don't know.
It's probably relating to different practices from, you know, of witchcraft from different parts of the world. And I know that witches in all different parts of the world practice differently. But I am not educated enough to contribute to that conversation. But if you resonate with that, with what Diana Lemonade commented, we encourage you to go do your own research.
Next one is from I'm Just the Nerd. Don't have to be constantly doing magic, and magic can be in everyday things. Yes, that goes hand in hand with the one two questions ago, how it's okay if you can't practice daily. And yeah, you don't constantly have to be throwing salt over your shoulder or like mixing shit to be considered.
Yeah.
Oh, it.
Honestly, finding magic in everyday things is something that is one of the things that brings me the most joy. Like, I mean, for a lot of us, you know, it's the little things in life that make you happy. And I find the jewelry that I wear magical. It makes me feel beautiful. It makes me feel powerful. I feel naked when I leave the house without it. And this year I got to add a brand new beautiful piece to my jewelry collection that I consider like special to me. And it's from Brooke. And everyday little things, you know, stirring your coffee in the morning, a relaxing, like cleansing shower, or a nice hot bath at the end of the night with some candles lit in your bathroom, reading a good book on a rainy evening. You know, it's just the little things that can bring us the most happiness. And I find, of course, like music, there are times when music to me just sounds ethereal. Like, and I have to look it up. I have to like pull up Snapchat and get it to tell me what song is playing, because I have to add it to a playlist. And there are just things that make me feel like all glittery inside, like sparkly and shiny and magical. And I love that feeling.
Going back to the one about non-Western or non-European witchcraft alternatives, I wonder if she's referring to like African cultures. You know, that's like, that kind of goes into, I don't know if she's talking about voodoo. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm not sure. That's like, that's very open to interpretation, because that could mean like several different things.
Yeah, and we're not trying to bypass your comment. We just don't have enough education to really have a conversation about it.
I will say though that I feel like I was first introduced to what true witchcraft was through, this sounds funny, through, there was a movie, I don't remember what The Craft. So that I feel like was the first time I'd ever watched something where it was shown that, like, now besides Harry Potter, you know, that's different, that doesn't count, where it was shown that like this is something that can really be used for harm if you know, it's in the hands of like the wrong kind of person or someone who wants to do like ill will. I don't really remember what practice they were doing in The Craft, but I don't feel like it was European like based. So maybe that's what she's talking about. I'm not sure. If you're listening, Diana, and you want to send us a message, like further explaining what you meant, because now I'm curious.
Me too.
So yeah, there's that.
Okay, the next one, let's see here, is from Brianna May 93, and their comment was how misunderstood and misconstrued it is. Wow, that is a fact.
Oh yeah, like the amount of people who I've met who's, you know, they come over, see my books on my bookshelf, spell shit. Oh yeah, my God, you eat children? Who the hell, like you're so, that's just dumb. It's not even like insulting, it's just dumb and annoying. Yeah.
And I feel like you're in a little bit of a more difficult area where, I mean, obviously you're open and you don't give a shit what anybody says about it, because, you know, if people do have these misconstrued ideas, it's because of false information and the education that was given to us as children, especially, again, going back to religion. I mean, I was taught that witchcraft is real, and that's why the private schools I went to and the churches I went to banned Harry Potter. And I think I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but when I was a child, my mom had the Harry Potter talk with me, and we were obsessed with Harry Potter. And the Harry Potter talk was, you cannot go to school and talk about Harry Potter because I would have been in trouble. But witchcraft is definitely a real thing in the sector of Christianity that I was raised in. And witches were just considered, you know, like, you are possessed by the devil, you are going to hell, you are only doing harm. It's really, really bad stuff, and none of it's true. And I just always found it funny that religions that talk so badly on witchcraft literally do witchcraft themselves. Like, you take communion on Sunday and you drink the blood of Christ and you eat the bread of his body, and
like, what,
you're telling me that's not witchcraft?
Somebody argue with me about that one. I'll wait.
Yeah. Even, like, you know, we've all heard, we all know, like, blowing out birthday candles and making a wish, that's setting an intention. And things that are considered witchcraft are implemented in every religion practically and in everyday things. But because witchcraft was not, like, the mainstream religion, that's bad and that's evil. And so many people are just not educated.
Okay, what's next? Go with your, this comes from Kimberly Ann 2233. Go with your gut. It's not as complicated as you think. And she put that in quotation marks. So I'm not sure if one of us said that on the podcast or something.
Or if it's someone else's quote.
Yeah, or if it's somebody else's quote. But yeah, I mean, it's really not as difficult as you think. We can say this a million times, but you don't need a bajillion tools to be a successful witch or cast a successful spell. You just need intention, and that's really it. And you can't buy that anywhere. You got to learn how to harness it and use it to your advantage.
Yeah. And I like the part of it that's go with your gut, because I think also intuition, building your intuition, is a big part of witchcraft, and just being self-aware and being in tune with yourself and learning how to be more in tune with nature and the energy around you and the auras of other people. And whether you are naturally intuitive or if you practice and you're building your intuition, I think that's a huge part of being a witch.
Yes.
Okay. And the last one
goes hand in hand with the one we just had.
Oh shit, it is. this is also a username we recognize. This person comments on our Instagram posts a lot as well. And the name is Sipping in My Wild. And their comment is, there's no right way to practice. I can follow my intuition. Yeah, that's literally what we just were talking about. I would honestly, I think a lot of us naturally are intuitive, but we are raised to not trust our intuition and to not trust your gut and to listen to, when you're a child, you're told to listen to the adults around you. When creepy Uncle Sam wants to give you a kiss on the forehead and you're like, no, I don't want a kiss on the forehead from creepy Uncle Sam. And your mom is like, he's just your uncle. Like, just like, that was like your gut telling you something, you know? And there's plenty of other examples of where you had intuitive hits and for whatever reason, you were told to not believe that. And I think that kind of separates us from our intuition, and some of us more than others. So
yeah,
you have to learn to trust yourself again.
Exactly. And that sometimes I feel like people find it very hard to trust their intuition because I mean, sometimes you try to go with your gut and you're wrong.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Times that you know, you think you're doing the right thing and then it ends up not being true. So you're like, can I trust myself again the next time? Yeah.
We just wanted to address those because I did put that on our story and then I did forget about it. As I am prone to do, anytime I post something on the story, I do tend to forget that I posted anything on the freaking story. That's such a bad habit of mine. I don't know why I do it.
It happens.
Yeah, I'm trying to be more interactive with like our listeners on there. And sometimes I'll be like, oh, let me just post this. Like, and then I just forget and I can't remember what I posted. I'm getting old. What can I say?
Yeah. Those were the questions, and Brooke and I were we wanted to also put our input, like what our answer to the question was. But honestly, it sounds like a lot of us are thinking and feeling the exact same thing, because my answer would have been many things that were mentioned. Mm-hmm. And is it the same for you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it feels like we're all kind of on the same page and we all had a lot of similar things that we wish we could have told ourselves a couple years ago.
I think one thing I wish I knew before I got like so outwardly and publicly into witchcraft was that there was going to be an influx of people who wanted to ask me questions that were easily like Googled. And I'm someone who this isn't news to you. I teach myself what I want to know. Is it probably a trauma response from having to do for myself for most of my young adult life? Yes. Does it mean that I'm very patient with people when I know they have access to Google? No. I did feel bad about that for a while. I was like, that's not really fair. Like, you have a podcast and you want to educate people and this, that, and the other. And I'm like, yeah, I want to talk with people who genuinely want to learn, want answers in a conversation. I don't want to just be your Wikipedia. Literally, your Wikipedia.
Hey, I see what you did there.
I don't want to be that. I don't want to just like, because, you know, I mean, this one time, I had a friend who said they wanted to get into witchcraft and I was all excited for them. I was like, oh, that's so great. And then they were just like, so I need you to send me a list of reliable websites, the best books, the best shops, and I was like, okay, whoa, I'm more than happy to give you a couple like suggestions of where to start, but I'm not going to take an hour out of my day to compile this like big list of everything, because
that would have taken more than an hour.
That is part of the process of like learning. I feel is like, I'm going to give you a couple things, because I love you and I want you to have a solid place to start, but I just don't want to spend 3 hours just compiling links and directions to places when I'm just like, why don't you just Google like apothecary in my area? Why don't you just look up different types of witches and see which one resonates with you? Like, I always direct people to Google. I'll be like, what type of witchcraft is there? I'm like, why don't you just Google what type of witchcraft, like what type of witches are there, and just see which one resonates with you? Like, that's how, like, I just turn it around on them. And I'm just like, this is, I'll give you direction. You go do the work.
Yeah. But you're right. I think it is part of the process. It's part of the learning process. And I found that part to be really fun.
Yeah.
I guess if there was if there's something that wasn't mentioned that I could also, tell myself early on in the beginning of my practice, is I've mentioned this, I don't even know how many episodes ago. I don't know which episode I was on, but I started my practice because I wanted to connect the practice with my spirituality, and I wanted to be more in tune with people that I love that I have lost. And I wanted to figure out, you know, I wanted to help heal my grief, and I wanted to feel a connection. And I didn't know what I was expecting, you know, going into it. And I think I had unrealistic expectations of what that would mean and what that would look like.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, now, like, I love the connection that I have with spirit or my higher self, the universe, your ancestors. I love it. I feel like I know the language. I see the signs. But I really struggled in the beginning because I was like, am I doing it wrong? Like, nothing's happening. and it was just a process. It was a learning process. And that's what I would tell myself, is just to be patient with yourself and, like, maybe don't have such high expectations and just see what happens.
Yeah. Don't have any expectations at all. Try to go into it with as clear-minded, empty-minded as you possibly can. Try to use your one single brain cell instead of all of them firing off at once, and just see where things go, because
yeah. Do you have one spiritual or witchy book you want to plug? Because I know which one I'm going to plug, and it's the one I always talk about, which is The Light Between Us by Laura Lynn Jackson. I beg of you, if you have lost someone that you love, please, please, please read that book. It changed my life.
I am sitting here, and the one that's beside me is Moon Magic. And it says, Alquist is the person's last name who wrote it. I don't know who the first name is because I'm looking at the binding and there's a lamp on top of it, and I'm not going to pull it out and risk everything toppling down on my desk. Yeah, Moon Magic. I love that one. It's, if you are someone who really loves the moon and you like to live by the moon and do your spells by the moon, it is such a thorough book on the best times and months and moon phases to do spells for prosperity, love, confidence, improved finances, stuff like that. So I'm a big moon bitch.
You are. I love that about you.
You know.
So yeah, that's, let's see, is there anything else that, like, we have a favorite of? I had very high expectations when it came to crystals, and I do not view them the same as when I first started.
Yeah, when I first started getting them, I thought I needed to have, like, one of everything, and I needed to have them on display. And now when I go into a store and I see, like, a huge one, sometimes I'll still pick it up and, you know, think about whether or not I want to buy it, like a big rose quartz or something. I feel like you can't ever have too many rose quartzes, like, sitting around your house, but... Yeah. I've really chilled out with buying witchy stuff. I feel like because I'm very confident in myself as a witch and my knowledge. So I'm just like, you know what? This is really pretty, but I'm going to leave it for someone who needs it more than I do.
Yeah. I love crystals. They are beautiful, and I actually don't have any big pieces, but it's something that, like, I'm waiting to move into my next apartment, because I want to pick, like, one beautiful big crystal, and I want to pick the perfect place that it's going to sit, where it'll capture the light, and maybe, you know, have, like, a rainbow prism in it. And I don't know the layout of where I'm going to live yet, so I don't want to purchase it yet. But I have a handful of small ones, and there are days that I feel specifically drawn to a certain crystal. My favorite is smoky quartz. I love that crystal so much. It's been my favorite from day one, and it still resonates with me. And I also have chilled out on buying witchy stuff, but you know, there are times I go into a shop and I'll pick one up and I'm just like, oh, you're coming home with me.
You're coming home with me. You're coming home with me.
Like there's times that, you know, there are times that I feel like connected to a certain one, and so I'll buy it. But I'm no longer like mass splurging on little crystals and things like that. But I do still need a big piece for my collection.
They are not cheap. I want a big piece of amethyst so badly. I love the big amethyst geodes.
Yeah.
I love geodes, like half open. I want like a freaking geode lamp.
Ooh, that would be so pretty.
Oh my God. Like what if like the top half of it, like the part where the bulb is like underneath, you know, like the lamp I bought the other day and it looked like a half globe.
Oh yeah.
And the top, what if the top of it was just like an open geode and the light would shine off of all the little like crystals. Oh, that would be such a cool lamp.
That would be so pretty.
Speaking of little crystals, I didn't even get to talk about what part of my Valentine's Day gift was from my partner.
Yeah, talk about it.
He got me he's the only person who has ever, ever, ever gotten me a witchy Valentine's Day gift ever. And witchcraft was a huge part of my life, like in other relationships. And no one has ever given a shit or paid attention to the fact that I'm passionate about this. And he ordered me, or got, I don't know, somebody handmade it. It's a miniature alchemy box, and it had these tiny little crystals in it. It had coins from all over the world in it. It had a huge peacock feather. It had something else, and it also had a little key, and it showed like what each element like represented. And I just thought that was the cutest thing. It was so original and just like just such a sweet Valentine's Day gift. Just like such a nice way to be like I love you. Thoughtful. Yeah, it was so thoughtful. And the box was hand painted and had all these like mystical little sayings, like decoupage on it. And I just thought it was so. He also got me like chocolate and flowers and all your typical shit, but I just thought that that box was such a nice way to just be like, not only am I recognizing it's Valentine's Day, but like I'm celebrating like who you are as a person. Like I see you, I understand you. I felt very seen.
Yeah.
It was just such a cute gift.
Speaking of Valentine's Day gifts, I felt so seen by Brooke this Valentine's Day because she's the first friend to ever send me a Valentine's Day gift, and she sent me a very special box as well, and I'm gonna keep it to myself because it was very funny and very personal and I loved it so much. But like no friend has ever like, you know, thought to send me a Valentine's Day gift, and that was really special to me.
Got you, girl. I always gonna have you. You know,
we're just two cancers always loving on each other. We gotta spread the love.
We are. I have yet to meet. Well, never mind. Take it back. I was gonna say I have yet to meet a single cancer who does not constantly spread the love, but I've definitely met a cancer who didn't spread the love. So, anyways, just pretend I didn't say that. And what is going to be our emoji?
Ooh, I feel like it should be something that like relates to our merch. Like it should be a clothing item. A clothing emoji.
Is there a sweatshirt one?
Let's see. There's a top. There's a pink top. Is there a tote bag? We love our damn tote bags on this.
We do love our damn tote bags.
There's like a purse.
Is there?
Yeah, if you type in bag or tote, it's like a little brown purse. Should we do the pink top or the brown purse?
Pink top.
Okay. Okay, go comment on the Instagram post for today's episode and fill the comments up with the pink top emoji. And then by the time you're listening to this, we will have already posted the individual posts with our designs for the new merch. Go check that out. Comment, let us know what you think. Comment if you bought something. Send us pictures when you receive it. Share the love.
We love you so much, and we will hopefully be back next week.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.